Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The last two ahadiths on the chapter of Hajj. And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu qal, كانت أبكاز ومجنة وجاز أسواقا في الجاهلية فتأثموا أن يتجروا في المواسم فنزلت ليس عليكم جناح أن تبدغوا فضلا من ربكم إلى آخره سورة البقرة. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu narrates that Abkaz, Mijinna and Adul Majaz were markets in the days of ignorance. In the days of Jahiliyat, there used to be three types of fairs, three types of souks, three types of markets that would take place just at the time of Hajj. And the people considered it to be a sin to conduct business in this during Hajj period. So people now would think of it that it is guna to do some type of trade, to go there to purchase or to go there to sell goods. This was some type of guna. People will consider it to be the guna. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this verse, there is no sin on you to seek the bounty of your sustainer during the Hajj season. So these three markets, the market of Ukaz was held in the first 20 days of Zulqa'dah. The first 20 days of Zulqa'dah, they would have this market, this fair, this souk that would take place. In the first 20 days, it was called Ukaz. And it was held between Najd and Taif. That was the place where this fair was held, this market was held. And then there was another one called Mijanna, which was held in the last 10 days of Zulqa'dah. And this was held close to Makkah al-Mukarrabah. And Zulmajaz was held in the first 8 days of Zulhijjah. The first 8 days of Zulhijjah, there was another market that was held. And thereafter, all the pilgrims now would go and proceed to Mina. So they would now consider this, this is a guna, this fair that is taking place, is not permissible for us to go and trade there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayat, that there is no sin upon you to seek the bounty of your sustainer. And those days, there wasn't these shopping centers that we got there now. So easily for you to get your commodities. If a person is in need to sell some goods to make some money, there wasn't very, very easily accessible centers to go and sell your goods. So it was made easy for the people that yes, you can trade also in these days. Remember, these are the days just before the days where a person actually now proceeds to Mina. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that there is no harm in you going and doing some trade, some business. It makes it easy for the people that are coming from outside. They can buy goods. And the people that are there, they want to sell some goods. It makes it easy for them to do their trade. They don't have to close down their business altogether. One more hadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brought a lesson for us. A very great lesson, a short hadith. Very great lesson on the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Anas radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hajja ala rahlin wa kanat zamilatuhu, rawahu al-Bukhari. And Anas radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed hajj on a camel which also served to carry his belongings. It also served to carry his goods. Now to understand this hadith in perspective, remember that this hajj now was the climax. It was the pinnacle of the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was right towards the ending of his life. Over 90,000 people are gathering at this occasion. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding an animal with his own goods loaded on it. Normally when the king would move, he'd move with an entourage. There wouldn't be, in his entourage there'll be a separate conveyance, there'll be separate animals to carry the goods. And the separate ones that they move, and the finest bred animals, finest bred horses with the best type of sheets, the best type of cloths, the best type of items that are placed on that horse to show that this is the person, this is the leader, this is the king, and he'll move with an entourage. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is moving on an animal with his own goods loaded on it. Did we ever see any king moving in a bucky with the goods loaded in the back of the bucky? He's driving the bucky, he's riding the bucky. You're driving the bucky. We've never seen that. Why? It is unheard of. Person is moving in an entourage, is a separate vehicle just to carry the goods, separate vehicle to carry all the items of entertainment, and he's moving in a luxury, posh vehicle. And this is the simplicity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the height of glory, over 90,000 people had gathered from the Arabian Peninsula. People from all over had come. This was the height and glory of Islam at that time. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is moving in some simplicity. It is mentioned in one hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode on a conveyance with a cloth on it which was not even worth 4 dirhams. 4 dirhams, a petty amount. That cloth that was also on that animal was not even worth 4 dirhams. And this is what dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. O Allah, let this be a hajj in which there is no showing off and there is no boasting. will not let this be Hajj. It is no showing off and there is no boasting. It is humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why when he spoke, it had such an impact on Sahaba, such an impact it had, that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other day we did the hadith, that Osani Khalili, Osani Habibi, Sahaba would say, that my beloved had mentioned this to me. I will not leave it out for anything. I would not ever leave out these advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given me. And the reason for that is because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a people's man. That when the people smiled, he smiled with them. When they cried and they teared, he teared with them. When they were hungry, he was hungry with them. When they moved, he moved with them. Can you imagine what a scene this was? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is moving, like, as I mentioned in our terms, the Baki with his own goats loaded in the back, and he's moving in the crowd. So this is something that we have to bring into our lives. Simplicity, bring this level of humility in our lives. See, if a person wants to gain altitude, you know, when a plane gets altitude, it goes higher and higher and higher. So a person wants to gain altitude, the first thing he needs to do is to cut out the attitude. Have no attitude, have humility, complete humility, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next thing he needs to do is show gratitude, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And then a person should not depend on his own aptitude. He shouldn't think that I got so much of brains, I know so much. Rather, he should depend and he should put his focus on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And then when he puts his trust in this, then a person now will gain the necessary altitude and a person will fly. There was one doctor mentioning recently. He says that so many of the problems of depression that are coming, this person is a psychiatrist, so he deals with the different levels and different types of depression that people suffer with. And he said one type of depression is where the middle class are mixing with the wealthy, with the rich, and now they are feeling depressed because they can't reach up to the level of travel, the level of entertainment, the level of living conditions, the level of luxury that the rich, the ultra-rich are enjoying. So this middle class cannot meet up. They're seeing all these things now on the WhatsApp because the friends they got, people in their circle, they know that are from the ultra-rich. So if they are flying, for example, in first class and they put a picture of that cabin on the WhatsApp or on the Instagram or wherever it is, so now they feel that we wish we could have it like this. And they put the hotel room and where they went for a holiday and the entertainment that they're enjoying. So their friends now in the middle class suddenly feel a level of depression. We also are trying to be like them. We also want to be like them. We can't be like that. So many people are actually falling into depression. So the psychiatrist mentions that he's seen so many cases like that. People are just looking at those above them and they are feeling sad. But rather, instead of looking at people above us, we should look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the simplicity of his life. Look at it, no pomp, no glory, no show. Everything done with the people, every single thing done in a simple manner, in simplicity, then you'll find a person will have a great amount of happiness. There'll be no question of depression. There'll be no question of sadness. Why? Because this person is happy with the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make dua for his own family. Allahumma ja'ala rizqa ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rizqa ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the provisions for the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just enough. Just enough. And ulama that know in this field, my Ustad al-Muftisabi mentioned, that after consulting for so many years, you realize what hikmat, what wisdom is in this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when people have too much of money, they don't know how to splash it and how to use it, then automatically they're throwing themselves, not walking, but they're throwing themselves into guna. Why? Because they need to use that excess money, need to go here, need to do this, and automatically they're getting involved in sin, and very often it also ends up in oppressing other people because of a person's position and his arrogance and his style and his way. But when a person has just got enough, he doesn't desire to go here, to go there, to fly here, to fly there, he just does enough, he's got enough for the day, and he gets saved from so much of guna. So much of guna he's getting saved from, he doesn't realize what a ni'mat it is to have sufficient. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, bring in the simplicity in our life, bring in this tawazu and humility in our life. Really, if we have this simplicity, this humility, man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahullah, that person that has humility, Allah Pak will raise him, Allah Pak will cause him to fly. But that person that wants to fly on his own, so temporarily he'll get that position, temporarily he'll demand respect if he's trying on his own. But very shortly that person will fall and he'll fall very, very fast. Allah upon you. It's only tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.